Good morning, everyone. That was good worship. I love that. I woke up this morning and I had a bad cold and almost like I might almost be sick, but I still came. So maybe you can pray that my voice would stick together till the end. Just want to welcome everybody here this morning. I really enjoyed this morning. I think as we listen, we could understand and feel the love of the Father. Before we go into the message, I'd like to have the children, I'm going to give you guys a story, the children a story. Are there any children here that like stories? I think everybody likes stories. Do you guys know what a scar is? What's behind every scar? Did you know that behind every scar is a story? Look at my thumb. Yeah, I remember when that happened. The story I'm going to tell you this morning is, I don't know if you ever noticed it or not, between my nose and my right side of my mouth here is a big long scar. I'll tell you how that happened. And when I thought about it this week, I was like, wow, I didn't know I was this old. It happened 25 years ago. there's a lot of people that aren't even 25 here today, so I must be getting up there. So I was 18 years old, and I'd got my hunting license. I was going to go hunting, and lived down Elmer, Tillsonburg area. And there, the controlled hunt, you had to use a muzzle loader. So it was an old gun, you know, where you dump the powder in, push the bullet down, and all's well, and you shoot, right? Anyhow, a friend came over, and I wanted to show off to him, I think. Like, I had this double-barreled muzzle loader. It wasn't just one, it had two barrels. You could flip it around, and then you had your extra cap and get the second shot. So I aimed like this, and it was almost dark. There was one bright flash, and the barrel was no longer in my hands. It just had the stock. And I was like, what happened? Like that, I saw blood flowing out. What had happened is I didn't get the bullet seated properly on the powder, and so there was air pocket, and it went out sideways, and then the piece of steel came around like that, like it could have gone through here, right? God was good. Came around like this, nicked my nose, cut off my lip, dangling like that. And I went like this, and that's how I went to the hospital. Nobody could pull me off, nothing. But this is what I remember about that night. Like, there was a lot of damage done that night. You know what the most painful part was about that night? So we got to the hospital, lay on the bed, they started assessing. Doctor pulls my lip out a little bit and starts injecting the freezing. And a nurse comes up, kind of holds my head. Another one comes the other side and they hold my hands, and the doctor says, "I do something here that's gonna hurt." And they injected a needle into the tip of my nose. I still just, it hurt. And what I'd like to ask you this morning is, why do you think that hurt? Because your nose is tender. And you know, God says, He says that He watches over us as the apple of His eye. And this morning, what I want to talk about is the tenderness of the Father's heart. I think we can experience just with a thought. You know, maybe some of you guys are tough, but I'm sure none of you would volunteer to put a needle into your nose. Like, I think I went in a quarter inch. But see, God cares about us, and His thoughts are tender toward us. So what I have here, I wanted to go through Luke 15 and just look at the two sons there and just see the Father's heart to both of them, to both of them. But maybe before we do that, let's just pray. God, we pause before You. Lord, we know that Your heart is tender toward us, but sometimes we forget. And Lord, I just pray this morning that we all would come face to face with how tender and how loving You are. We would come face to face with Your goodness. Lord, that we would feel healing in our lives. Lord, your word says, because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. Lord, I just pray that that would break upon us. To give light to those who sit in darkness, the shadow of death, and to guide to path of peace. Lord, guide us into the path of peace today. Just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, first we're going to just read through Luke 15 here. We see two different portions, two different stories. I'm just going to skip over them. But they're about the lost sheep. And they found one, and they had a celebration. Then they were a lost coin. They found one. They found the lost coin, and then they celebrated. And then Jesus says, okay, has these two stories. He says, to illustrate the point further. So I'm just going to read the rest of the chapter here. Jesus told them this story. A young man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the field to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants had food enough to spare, and here I'm dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But his father said to the servant, quick, bring the finest robe in the house, put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants what was going on. Your brother is back, he said, and your father has killed the fattened calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do, and all that time you never gave me even one young goat for a free feast with my friends. And yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes and you celebrate by killing the fattened calf, his father said to him, look, dear son, you've always stayed by me. Everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found. So what I want to do here is I want to look at the younger son's journey. I want to look at the older son's journey. And then I want to think about it that we are representatives of God, right? And we get to display the same tenderness toward others. And then I want to look at how the younger son's journey affects us, maybe hinders us as we process that from displaying that love. I want to look at also how the older brother's journey maybe sometimes hinders us from displaying his kindness. Before we do that, last Sunday, we were here at church, and Kevin Brubaker was here. They'd been gone for the summer. And after church, we were visiting there, and he was a couple seats back. He told me a story about his summer. And I want to share it with you because sometimes we read the scriptures, we know the story from beginning to end, and we don't connect with what's really happening there. Like we don't see how much the Father loved this man, or maybe what the man went through, or we don't see the older son's relationship with his father, how they were always together, but they really weren't relating. We miss those things. I was talking with Kevin, I just asked him, so how was your summer? And he talked a little bit, and then he gave me a story. And that story it's just gone around my mind many times this week. He said he went, when he got there, I'm not even quite sure exactly all the details, so I'm just going to give what I have. He said, he was there about a week and a half working with a man. So this was a small community out in Manitoba. He worked alongside a man. And then in that community, there was a boating accident, and a guy was killed. And this is like a smaller community, and there was a lot of grief there. And his cousin, he said, this man that he was working with, his cousin flew in for the funeral. And we know that, you know, sometimes we look at our own lives and we see pain, but then we hear stories and we go like, you know, we haven't even experienced anything. His cousin flew in for the funeral, and I don't know what happened, but she ended up taking her own life. And I want you just to identify with this man. So here, a person was killed. His cousin comes in, ends up taking up her own life. I just want you to think about what's going through his mind. And then they didn't find her for a while. And I wish it could be a way of just simply saying this without discreetly, but the bears found her before people did. Just imagine this man, the grief he had to go through. And Kevin said that from that time on, the rest of the summer, he never saw this man sober. He just couldn't process it. And what I want us to do this morning is, let's imagine the Father looking down upon this situation. Do you think his heart was tender? See, I think his heart was bleeding for this young man. But I think his heart was also bleeding for the younger son. And I think his heart is bleeding for the older son. See, God is so tender. Deuteronomy 32:10, he says, he found them a desert land, in an empty, howling wasteland. He surrounded them, he watched over them, and he guarded them. He would, as he would guard his own eyes, or as what I might say, as I would guard my own nose. That's how God thinks. He protects. He wants people to trust him. He wants people to come to them with their hurt. Just want to look at verse 12. The first thing that happened in the younger son's life is he wanted life his way. He said to his father, give me my share. I want to go. I want it now. I want it in my terms. I want to just point out one thing that happened here. If we ask God for something on our terms, look what happened in verse 13. It doesn't, nowhere before here did it say that the young son planned on going to a distant land, right? We don't read that. But when we ask something from God that is not for ours, many times we don't feel comfortable anymore in the presence of God, right? So the younger brother went to a distant land because of his living this way. But then verse 17, it says, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, Have you ever thought, what did he come to his senses about? What did he realize? It says, when he came to his senses, he said to himself, like, here he was in the pig pen, feeding pigs, and something kind of clicked in his mind. He was like, you know what? My father, he had servants. My father was kind to my servant, to his servants. That is what drew him back. He said, you know what? If I could just be a servant, if I could just come under the influence of the Father, I would be okay. I would be okay. He was kind. He says, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have enough food to spare. And he realized and he recognized that his father was kind, and he returned to him. But we see when he returned that the father went to embrace him. We can see the tenderness. But you know, on his lowest point of life, he felt the tenderness of God. Isn't that good? If you think about your own life, your own journey, wasn't the turning point? My turning point was when I understood the goodness of God. When I agreed, when I knew in my heart that he was good. Now I would like to look at the older son. Verse 30. It says the older son, he was angry. He wouldn't go in. His father asked him, would you come in? Like, see, I don't think the father loved the older son any differently than he loved the younger son. He said, you know what, your younger son's here. Would you just come in and celebrate with me? But the older son was angry and wouldn't go in. And you know, just look at what he said then. He said, all these years I've served you faithfully, but you've never given me anything to celebrate. What he was saying was, you've never been kind to me. You've like never just blessed me. And he said, but this, your son, when he came back, you just bless him. Like he's saying to his father, you're not a good God. You're not a loving father. Look, I've done all of this, and you're not coming through for me. And then he says, your other brother here, your other son here, he comes back and you celebrate him. See, the older son had always done the right thing, but he never lived. He had never lived. For him to live, he would have had to recognize that the Father's good, that the Father has blessed him. See, we see the tenderness of God. Like, he didn't leave the older son just outside. He went outside and he said, please come in, please come in. And when the younger son came, he went out. He met him on the road. He kissed him. He welcomed him. I just marvel at God's goodness to us for drawing us that way. But just thinking about that, in a personal application, you know, this morning, all of us have younger sons and older sons in our lives. I think we need to recognize that. We have people around us, and God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given each one of you a gift to be tender, a gift to be kind. And you know, just this past week has been a good week for me, very good week for me, just sitting under the preaching, and that's one thing. You know what? I look at the young people, and I wish I would have been more tender towards you. That's how I feel. Too many times I was seeing my own life and not caring maybe about where your journey was. God is touching my heart and just saying, you know what? If somebody doesn't see that God is good, we have an opportunity to show an expression of tenderness. Isn't that beautiful? maybe that expression of tenderness. They will see the Father. But as I looked at that story, I was really challenged. See, it's easy to love the younger brother, maybe. It's easy to be tender to him. But what about the older brother? What about a man that's maybe he's angry? Maybe he lives a life of flawlessness but has no joy. There's nothing in him that is rejoicing. See, the missing factor of the younger brother was there was no relationship with the Father. He had gone away. When he returned, a relationship happened. But see, the older son, when his father and the younger one were celebrating, the older one couldn't celebrate. Maybe he had seen things. Is there stuff in our hearts that keeps us sometimes from celebrating with the goodness of God? And if we see that in somebody's lives, are we tender towards that? See, they also have a journey of pain. It's not just one side, but it's all of us together. This world's a cold place. And we can express the Father's love. As believers, we get to represent Jesus to those living with us. I want to share a scripture in Ephesians 4, 31, 32. And this is more speaking to us as believers. He says, "And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption." Then he gives very practical application here. He says, "Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, forgiving one another. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ had forgiven you." How many of us in this room in the past week needed a reminder that God was good? I think we all do, right? And we have this opportunity to be vessels of that. Isn't that pretty awesome? I think so. There's a reason why in 1 Corinthians there he says that, you know, you can prophesy, you can speak in tongues, you can do wonders and signs, but after all that, love is the greatest. But then, just thinking about that today, we have that opportunity. Today we might recognize that we have a heart of the older brother, or we might recognize that we have a heart of the younger brother. So where do we go with that? What do we do with it? What do we do with it? I just want to read a portion here in Romans 3. I think it's the simplest way of describing of what God wants us to do. He says, "But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law as was promised in the writing of Moses and the prophets long ago." Then he speaks this. He says, "We are made right with God." Like, this is so simple and so plain. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, "And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are, the younger brother or the older brother. Doesn't matter. We're made right by placing our faith in Jesus Christ." And then he goes on and says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus Christ, his life, when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. Here's a beautiful thing then. He says, this sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in the past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. What he's saying there is, in the Old Testament time, if he would have judged, he would have just had to wipe everybody out. But because he had promised in the Garden of Eden that there's going to be a Jesus that's going to come, he could delay that judgment because of Jesus. It says, this sacrifice, it doesn't mean that God's not fair, because it says this sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in time past, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. Then he goes further and says, God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. That's simple. I just reading through this here and just recognizing that how much I need the tenderness of God in my own life, and that we have an opportunity to then in turn give it to others. That touched me deeply. And God's just such a good God. That's why we're drawn to him. I just want to leave that with you. I'm sorry it didn't go as long as whatever, but I hope those words will speak to you. I hope they will speak comfort and hope to you. Let's just pray yet. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your tender heart towards us. We want to thank you that you understand our pain, you understand our struggles. And Father, this morning we just realize from our own strength that we cannot display tenderness to others. We become offended. We become bitter. So, Father, we just ask that you live in us, you flow through us, so that you in us would flow out the goodness of God to all creation. Father, I pray too. I pray that if there's anybody here this morning that has never experienced a tender touch from you, that you would just speak hope to them, speak comfort to them, that they would come to their senses and know that you're good to all people, no matter who they are, and that if they come under your influence, they will be helped. Father, I just pray for that. I pray that to happen in our midst. It's in my own life that there would be a healing continued. Father, I just bless you again for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.